being here again today as we step into this worship service. Amen. If you have your Bible today, I want you to turn with me to the New Testament. Very familiar portion of Scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. I want to read some Scripture to you, and somehow or another I want to make a connection between this Scripture and Father's Day. I would be somewhat of a fool if I stood here today and tell you that everybody in this room is having a good day. Some people, Father's Day is a very painful day, very struggling day, because of the ways that life is and the way life happens sometimes. But if you're one of those people that's having a bad day or a hard day or a rough day, they sang that last song at my request as a reminder of how good our Heavenly Father is. Amen. And I know that I've seen things and read things and looked at things on Facebook, which maybe I shouldn't do maybe at times, but it comes as a reminder to all of us sometimes that everybody's life is not always easy on this particular day. And I said that to say this: if somebody's listening to me and that happens to be you today, know that God loves you. Amen. Know that the love of God is for you, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to preach this message today, is simply titled Come Unto the Father. And again, I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning. I don't intend to take a lot of time. You might even get out early today. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But somebody's laughing, wasn't they? I'm sorry. With me anyway. But I'll try my best to get through this. I already feel as if there's things that I've written down that I will probably skip over and look through and kindly give you just an overview really, really quick of some of the things that was on my heart as I started this service. Matthew chapter number 11 is a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I want to read verses 25 through 30, if you will. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. Verse 28 through 30. Scripture says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you just stretch your hand and pray for me this morning? Father, we love you today. We give you great praise and honor for this opportunity, God, to come here today. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us, your people. Thank you for those that are here today. Father, take this word and use this word for your glory. Father, I pray, God, even now that you would help us to be found faithful. Help us, God, to love you more than we love anything else in this life. I pray, God, for those that's even here today. Maybe there's people here today that's heavy. Maybe there's people here today that, God, that don't even know the love of the Father because of the situations of their life. I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, and thank you for what you've done. And we ask you this in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. When you begin to look at the opening part of this particular scripture, one of the things that we can begin to read about is held in the first part of this chapter, where Jesus, again, he is dealing with individuals there that was making the lives of the disciples and the lives of those around them extremely taxing at that time. As an example, the Pharisee was no more than the law keepers of the day. The Pharisee at that time, and the Sadducees, if you will, were the ones that oftentimes came to Jesus in an effort to try to trap Jesus and to see if Jesus would violate the law. Commentary said that they would often put heavy yokes upon the people, more so than what Jesus came to do, because the Bible said that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We can see that Jesus came to liberate, and Jesus came to set man free from all of his sins and his transgressions. When we begin to look at this particular verse of Scripture, there are several things that comes to mind. One of the things, Jesus used this word over and over again. I believe that Jesus was emphasizing, there's many other scriptures that I will not have time to get to this morning, that emphasizes Jesus' relationship with his Father. And this is one of those scriptures that Jesus actually emphasizes his relationship with his Father. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. I looked up the word Father in the Vine's dictionary, and we see that Father, the meaning of that, is actually a word that means a nourisher, one that means a protector, one that means an upholder, and one that exhibits care for his children, if you will. When we begin to look at this scripture, we can see this, where in the scripture we read in where that Jesus explains his relationship with his Father. In the book of John, chapter number 1, we can see where the Bible describes God as the Father of lights. We can see that. And we can read it here in the scripture as well, found in verses 12 and 13. And he says that as we look at this scripture, that when we become the children of God, and we have a heavenly Father, John reminds us, and as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now look in verse 13, where he says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by the will of God. If you look at it there, verse 14 reminds us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me just sort of back away from that just a minute and simply say this. As God the Father has sent his Son to this earth to liberate you and I, we look at this and the scripture says that we now have become the sons and daughters of God. And I'm glad today when we read the scripture like this and we've had a born-again experience and we know God is our Father, that you and I today, that I am so thankful that I have a Father in heaven that loves me. We look at that word, Father, it's one that is the protector. It is one, again, when you look at this, it is one that is a nourisher. John 15 talks about that. I'm not going to turn there and go through that right now. But one that, again, is, you look at this, one that upholds us, and he upholds us today. When we look throughout the word of the scripture, there's several things, again, comes to my mind. First of all, we see that where Jesus himself became the intercessor, if you will, for you and I unto the Father. One of the greatest examples of that, my mind reflects upon one of the greatest examples of that that is found, is where that Stephen was being stoned, and even under the anguish and even under the persecution that Stephen was under at that time, where that they came and they took stones and they throwed stones at him until they took his own life, that Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost and faith. And the Bible said that he looked up into the heavens and he seen Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I'm so glad today that you and I, as born again children of God, that we have a Father today. Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession unto God for you and I today. There are are many today that may not believe this. There are many today that would deny this. There's many today that have an idea or a thought, if you will, that they can get to heaven in some other way. But I come to submit unto you today that there is not but one way to the Father. Amen. You don't know the Father through philosophy. Even though I'm not against education, you've got to know Him by the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, you might be born of the flesh, but you've got to be born of the Spirit. And until we're born again, we don't even know the love of the Father. It's that born again experience that allows us to know who He is. We see this again where Jesus reminds us of that in John 14 and verse number 6, where Jesus says this in the Word. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He says explicitly in the Scripture that I am the way. We look at that. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. We see that in the Word. We've got to know Him. We can know Him as our Father today. Jesus is the one that has introduced Him to you and I today. We see that. Again, we're reminded, if you don't know Jesus today, today's a good day. Today's a good day to know Him as Lord and Savior. Years ago, I used to say things like this. And this is how I made a connection in my own mind, in my own heart with it. And I said, I know about President Bush at the time is when I would say that. I know about President Bush, but I don't know President Bush. And see, a lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Amen. And I'm saying today that you can know Him. And the only way to know Jesus is simply through the Father, that no man cometh unto Him except unto the Father, except through Jesus here in the Scripture. Again, we think about that. We think about, again, in the Scripture. If you and I today, we don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you and I, we can know Him as our Savior. No matter how much we talk about God, how much we address God and say God answers prayer, we know the truth, and the truth is that we know that God heareth not sinners. Why are you saying that today, Pastor? Because we know that there's no way that God can be our Father except we know Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. To be born again, it requires you and I to come unto Him and to repent of our sins. And as we know who Jesus is, then we learn who the Father is. And we see this throughout the Scripture in the Word of God. And I forgot to write it out all the way. I get in too big a hurry. I apologize for that. But Jesus said in the Word in 1 John, He talks about this. We're not going to turn there because I didn't write it all out. But He says here in the Scripture that He, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, all three are one. And they're interconnected in the Trinity. And you can't know one without the other. I'm so glad today to know that when Jesus was on the earth, that people knew Him. They walked with Him. They talked with Him. They fellowshiped with Him. But yet when Jesus went away, Brother Scott's been talking about the Holy Ghost in Sunday school and how the Holy Ghost came down on Pentecost. But when Jesus went away to sit at the right hand of the Father, that ever make intercession for you and I. What did He do? He came and He gave the Holy Spirit of God so that every man, boy, and girl today could be born again and have a born again experience. There are several scriptures that I wanted to share with you today. First of all, we see here again in John chapter 14, verse number 7. The next verse after that, when Jesus said in the Word, if you would have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. In other words, again, to reiterate, you're only going to know Jesus. You're only going to know the Father through Jesus. And don't. And I'm gonna meddle here for just a minute, because people say all the time, "Well, I pray to God, but I'm not ready to give my heart to Jesus." You don't even know the love of the Father God until you get born again. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Born again is more than shaking a preacher's hand. Born again is more than putting your name on a church roll. Born again is the change in your heart, the nature change. The Bible teaches us in the scripture, in 2 Corinthians 7, he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He changes. Somebody says, I heard John Hagee say this a long time ago. He said, you can take a pig, you can wash that pig, you can clean that pig up, you can give him a bath, and you can put a red bow tie on that pig, or put a bow tie in his hair, if you will. He said, and you can set that pig in a parlor. He said, but just as quick as you let that pig loose, what's he going to do? That pig's going to go right back out and get into the same old mud hole that he was in before he was ever cleaned and washed up. And my friend, that is simply saying this, that when you and I get born again, it's not turning over a new leaf. People say it's turning over a leaf. Oh no, my friend, it is a total change of life. And it comes through the vine. It comes in John 15. It comes through the vine. It comes through the Father. And He will change our lives forever. Amen. And that's what Jesus said. If you would have known the Father, or you would have known me. He says that in that verse right there. He says, if you know have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. I'm glad we have a good Father today. John 7:20, we see this in the Word. John 7:29. Again, another scripture that Jesus is emphasizing here. And he says this in the Word. He says, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Jesus was sent here from the Father. Without me going into all the detail of that. But he sent here to do a work on this earth. Amen. Are you redeemed today? You're redeemed today because Jesus Christ died. Because you've got a good Father in heaven. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The Bible describes him in several different places, and he describes him this way. I'm not going to take the time to hit all of it, but I just want to hit a few of these things. First of all, we see that Jesus describes his home as a place like this in John 14. In number one, we know this scripture very. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus reiterates over and over and over again. If you're going to know the Father, you're going to have to know me. You're going to have to know me. And he said that he's provided for that. Then look in verse number 2. I know we use this scripture in a lot of different environments, and some of them are not very favorable environments, but he says, and it gives us hope, and it gives us the promise of Jesus to the disciples. He said, in my Father's house. Jesus, when he passed, he went to the Father's house. He promised you and I a place in the Father's house. Different translations use the different wording there, and it says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I get a concept of a motel room and a whole lot of different rooms and people living in rooms. No, my friend, he said, in my Father's house, look at this, he said, are many mansions. And I'm not worried about a mansion, but Jesus didn't promise you a room, my friend. He promised you a mansion in heaven. He promised us a glorious and a wonderful place in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. And Jason Crabb and his group sings this song, Don't You Want to Go? I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven one of these days. Amen. And Jesus provided that through the Father. The Father provided that through his Son. And you and I today, we can have that. All because of a loving heavenly Father. That's what I'm trying to paint the picture of this morning. Is you may not have had a favorable father on this life. I don't know. Maybe you had a good father. I don't know. I'm not here to debate that. But my point is simply this. That God our Father in heaven said, I'm going to send my Son because I don't want you to miss the glories of heaven and the splendors of heaven. I'm going to send my Son. Not only am I going to send my Son, the Father said that. Not only am I going to send my Son, but you're going to know Him. You're going to know me through Him. And then He said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house. Amen. There's a contemporary song, a new song, if you will. Maybe not contemporary, but a new song. And it talks about my Father's house. Friend, listen, this is not my notes. Totally off notes for a minute. Don't miss heaven. Don't sell out to the things of this world that's only temporary. Sure, you want to have a good time in this life. Sure, you want things in this life, but don't let things have you. Sure, you want to enjoy yourself in this life. This world was given to man for us to enjoy. And it's great, it's fantastic. But don't miss heaven. Don't get so enamored about the things of this world that we lose sight of what Jesus said that he was going to do. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Don't get so fixed on now that you can't focus your attention then. And I've told Sherry, and sometimes I guess I'm redundant, and sometimes I don't know. But sometimes, Brother Stanley, I remind myself, the pain and the suffering and the anguish that you and I may be going through right now is temporary. It's just for a temporary season. But eternity is forever. And I'm sure, somebody says, as much as I've had to go through on this world and as much as I've had to work through on this life, I sure don't want to miss heaven. I sure don't want to go to a devil's hell and miss what God planned for his people. Now that was free. That didn't cost nothing. I don't want to see anybody miss heaven. And again, I could go into a total different direction right now, but I'll contain myself for just a minute. Don't miss heaven. Amen? You say, I'm not a religious person. Hey, guess what? I'm not either. Religion won't do a whole lot for you. But a relationship. I told somebody that a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember who it was now, but somebody I was talking to and said, well, I'm not a religious person. I said, well, I'm not a religious person either. And there's a difference between religion and a relationship. And I said, I'm glad I got a relationship with Jesus. Amen. And Jesus, again, in the Word, said that you and I could know him through the Father. I heard a story a long time ago, and if this is offensive to you, I apologize before I even say it. But I heard a story one time, and I've said this story before, but it's always one that sticks out in my mind. So bear with me for just a moment. Years ago, I heard this, and it was a story about a father and a dad. And the dad, it was a snowy day, cold. Snow was about a foot deep. The dad was an alcoholic. So the dad had to leave the house, just had to go to the store. You know what I mean? Just had to go to the store. So he walked to the store, liquor store. On his way back from the liquor store, he found his young lad walking in the snow looking for his dad. And the dad looked down and he said, hey, how did you find me? He said, I just followed in your footsteps. And you know, I think about that, and most of you and some of you know some things about some things, and I don't really want to get into all that. But all of us didn't have a favorable childhood. I made up my mind as a young person to set my path on a straight and narrow path. Somebody might say, well, you're too religious, or you're too hard, or you're too this, or you're too that. But people, all of us have a different story. And you know what I mean? So sometimes you've got to set yourself on a pathway to keep yourself from the evils and the sins of this world, because the sins and the evil of this world would sure suck you into it if it could. And I made up my mind, Brother Stanley, at a young age, and it was nothing but the grace of God. Nothing but the grace of God that's kept me all these years on the straight and narrow. And that happened to me on a summer day. I'm not going to tell you the whole story and go through all of it. I don't have time to do all that because this right here is meddling. But it makes sense to me. But I made up my mind on a hot summer day, probably in July or so, when I was about 16 years old. Some of you heard this. I can't help but to say it again. There's young people or other people in here that's never heard this. When I was in a circle with a group of guys, and they handed me a bottle of tequila to try to get the worm out of the bottom of the bottle of tequila. I was with a group of young people. They was passing it around. And I almost put that tequila to my mouth. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I didn't even know the Holy Ghost, but he knew me, Brother Mike. He knew me. And what I heard in my ear that day and in my heart that day was these exact words. Exact words. I'm not swaying, not anyone. Exact words. Is this what you want to be the rest of your life? And I handed that bottle to the person next to me. I got up and walked away. And I never, ever put myself back in that position again. Sometimes you've got to learn to walk away. I had to learn that at a very young age. Amen? And I'm just saying to all these young people in this room right now or wherever you're listening from, it may seem to be just a little social this or a little social that. I know people that started off just a little social this, a little social that, and now they're bad addicts for whatever it is. And you can't let yourself go there because we have a good Father. And I need to fall in love with Jesus. I love the song they sing from time to time, falling in love with Jesus. Now, let me wrap this up. So when you look at what Jesus did, we see this in our text. So what do we do? Because Jesus was saying this in verse number 25. He said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. In this, in the commentary, it talked about how that the Pharisees and those that were knowledgeable, you know, God uses the simple things of life to confound the wise. We see that in the scripture. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. But Jesus in this, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent. In other words, when he was talking about this, he says, you've revealed them unto the babes. Those that are very simplistic. The gospel is not a complicated thing. Amen? You've got to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that thou can be saved. Sometimes we see what Jesus said in the scripture, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Talking again about the Pharisee and the Jews of that day and those that did not even believe in his Messiahship and didn't think that there was anything good that could come out of Galilee. You know what I mean? The scripture says that. But yet those that knew the Father seen him. Those that knew the Father knew him. Again, and even today, we think about the wise and the prudent of our day and the society that we're living in today. Our society has gone haywire. I don't really know what haywire is, but they're gone haywire. Crazy. I mean boot kicking crazy. That's a new one. I ain't never said that in my life. You know what it is. Just kick the ground. Just kick the ground. Just crazy. But I'm glad that you and I today that know Jesus, who give you the power of a sound mind. And people say, you're too simple, preacher. You're too simple. You need to bring it up a scale or two. No, I just like it simple. That's who I am. I like it that way. Keep it simple. He said he even shown it unto the babes. The young ones, in this context here, it was not talking about babes as far as babies, but it was talking about just the young, those that was young and those that were teachable and those that was trainable. He said in verse number 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. In this, it talks about in verse 26 and 27, it ties it together in a beautiful portrait of unification that the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they're unified into one thing. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Jesus reminded all of us in the scripture that he could not do anything except his Father permit. And no one knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. We see this of how that Jesus, again, he talks about this unified relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. If you see the Son, you see the Father. If you see the Father, you see the Son. So what you see in Jesus, you see in the Father. That's basically what he's saying. So I know when we say, oh, I know who Jesus is, and I know Jesus changed my life. And if we know how good Jesus is, we sure enough know how good our Heavenly Father is. I want to know him. And then we see here in the latter part of this, in verse number 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Again, Jesus reminds us, I didn't do anything of myself. I came to fulfill the mission of my Father. Listen, this is not my notes either. I don't know how that works. I'm not that smart. I don't know how this decision was made from the beginning of time that God would send his Son, made of a woman, conceived of the Holy Ghost, to live the years he lived on this earth, and then to be captured and crucified and give his life. I don't know how God planned all that out, but I sure enough am glad that he did. Amen. For thousands upon millions and thousands of years, we've all become the recipients of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that today. So in this, we see again in verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son may reveal him. I don't know about you, but I pray that everybody in this room at some point in your life, that the Lord Jesus came knocking upon your heart's door. As Paul the Apostle, who art thou, Lord? Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I pray that when Jesus is knocking upon your door, that you'll open that door. And as you open that door, Jesus will come in. The Bible says he'll sup with you. And that you will have a brand new encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The next few things is simply this. And the reason I chose this scripture is because I felt like that it would give us the knowledge in this scripture text of Jesus, as he says here in verse number 28. Because Jesus is not burdensome today. Sometimes we think about people that would feel like if they get saved, they've got to leave this behind, they've got to quit doing this, and they've got to do this, they've got to conform and be ye transformed by the renewal. You got to get on this, all this in line and all that. Let me tell you something, friend. When you truly get born again, if you're in sin right now, the things you were doing then, they no longer have any attraction to you at all. Hello? You'll love the things you used to hate and hate the things you used to love. Your mind will be transformed. Your heart will be transformed. And you no longer have the longings of the things that you used to have a longing for. I wish I could pick on a young man right now, but I'm not going to do that. Me and Stanley, I'm just going to say, if me and him was talking the other day, what a wonderful, glorious transformation God did in Stan's life years ago, many years ago. I want him to give his testimony one of these days when he's ready. But what a wonderful transformation. He says here in the Word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What are you saying today, Pastor? I'm saying those that may be burdened down with the cares of this life, heavy laden with the cares of this life. Jesus said to the Word, just bring them to him. We look at this in the scripture and commentary. It said, again, when we think about it, it says, thank God he didn't say, go or get out, right? Jesus didn't say go or get out. He didn't say leave and he didn't say depart. Think about that for a minute. Jesus said, come. Jesus said in the scripture, he said, come. And again, when he opens this word up, he says, come unto me. And it opens to all when he does this. The whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. And he says, and you labor and are heavy laden. Look at this latter part of this. Again, burdened down with cares of life, burdened down with sin, oh, burdened down with conviction, burdened down with the things of this world that you wish was no longer on your back. But he says here in the Word, he says that our labor and all that heavy laden, and then he says, I will give you rest. Let me go back to the beginning of the message. In my Father's house are many mansions. The provision of the Father is not only a house, but it's rest. And those that know Him as their Heavenly Father, hey, look here, we can rest. I use the word in our modern vernacular, just chill. My wife uses the term, take a chill pill, just chill out. It's okay, God's got it. I'm learning, I'm 59, still learning. As a pastor and as the person that I've always been, I've always tried to fix everything. Hello? I found out and I'm finding out there's some things I've just got to chill on. I got to relax. I've had to learn that. I'm still learning that. I have not mastered that. I'm still learning how to just let God do it. Because I want to tinker with it. I want to touch it. I want to do what I can to make it better. In all reality, if God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. I like the song that we sing from time to time. I can't take a heart that's sin sick, make it over again, but I know a man who can. I'm glad I know Him today. Then He says here in the Word, He said, come unto Me. There's another ticket. He says, come to Him. Come to Him. Then He says, take My yoke. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. When I was reading about that, y'all know what a yoke is. A yoke is like when you put a team of oxen together. They yoke them together and they're more powerful. They're more strenuous, or they have more strength. They can pull together and not pull apart from each other. He says, when you're yoked up with Me, we're going to pull together. But not only that, when I was reading this, it said that a lot of times they'll take an older animal and a younger animal and yoke them together. And the older animal will lead and train the younger animal. He leads me beside the still waters. He leadeth me. He restoreth my soul. I'm yoked up with Him, but He says here, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Jesus, teach me. Carrie Underwood years ago had a song, Jesus, take the wheel. Sometimes we got to get out of the driver's seat and let Him drive. Come on, somebody. He says, learn of Me. He says, for I am meek and low. I'm not burdensome. He says, I'm meek. Over in the scripture, over and over again, Jesus humbled Himself in the form of a man, and He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Amen. Be willing to say, God, here am I. And then He says, I like this part. When you know God your Father as your Father, He says, you shall find rest for your souls. I just need to say this to somebody today. You just need to rest in Him. Amen? Rest. God's got it. Look at this next verse. I'm almost done. When you look at this in the scripture, again, He says, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Rest and peace is considered to be the birthright to those that are in Him. In Him I live, I move, and I have my being. And without Him, we cannot do anything at all. I pray today that something that I've said, something that I did, has been a blessing to you in some way. My prayer is that when we leave this place today, there's three or four things that I could mention quickly. That God's got a Father's house for us. He is the Father of lights. He's the origin. He's the creator. There's no one like Him. Jesus, in this prayer, again, it was in the Father's prayer of Matthew chapter number 6, He prayed the disciples' prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. In this, the prayer was the theme and how to approach our Father God. Proof that prayer guided them and they learned to seek Him, not His provisions, because when they sought His provisions, they missed Him. A lot of times we just look for God in His provisions, but we miss Him. We miss that intimate part of Him. And then lastly, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible says He comes quickly and His reward is with Him. I mentioned that last Sunday night. What is His reward? It's heaven. And then we see this again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The love of the Father is on display when you look in the book of Luke. You don't need to turn there. But this is probably one of the greatest examples of the Father's love is found in the story of the prodigal son. When that prodigal son had went and joined himself to a far country. But yet, we see this in Luke, and you can put it up there, Kathy, if you want to. In Luke chapter number 15, I think it's there in verses 20 through 24, we see this, and this is what takes place there. Because we see this prodigal son rising, and he came to his father. And I know myself, I deal with this sometimes. But he said, but when he was yet a great far off, his father saw him. And he said he had compassion and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. I look at this not only in the reality of the physical and the reality of what this says, but think about it like this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in this room, whether you believe it or not, you were born a sinner. Maybe it's been 38 years since you sinned, but you were still born a sinner. Hello? Maybe you've not sinned in so long you forgot what it feels like to be a sinner. I don't know what your case may be, but my point is simply this, that Father did something there in that Scripture. According to what that Scripture says, He saw His sinful Son afar off. I deal with this, and Sherry and I, we've talked about it, but we see Him afar off. What did He do? He welcomed Him back into the family. He welcomed Him back in. He had compassion on Him. And then verse 21, we see this. He said, and the Son said unto Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called Thy Son. We wouldn't be that either if Jesus hadn't have loved us. We wasn't worthy. But yet the Father loved us enough to forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. The next verse, real fast. Next, 23. And then we see this, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and bring Mary. One verse, 24, according to my notes. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, I could go and talk about the elder son because he was just as lost as this son, but he was still in the house. They were both lost, but he was still in the house. And I won't even get into that right now. But this gives us a synopsis, if you will, of the love of the Father on this Father's Day. And how that Jesus provided that for you and for me through His sacrificial death on Calvary. I want you to stand with me today. Every service is different. Every Father's Day is different. Every time we come into this building is different. But if you've never, ever made Jesus the Lord of your life, why don't you do that today? Why don't you do that today? Why would you not do that today? You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I'm ready for all that. You better get ready. You better get ready. This may be the last time we're ever gathered together in a building like this. You better get ready. You say, you're sounding preachy now. Well, I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to sound preachy. Hey, don't miss heaven. Don't miss the love of God. Don't miss the love of your Heavenly Father. Amen. Experience Him in the light of the Scripture. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, just simply bow your head and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me, I've sinned. Just do that. It's that simple. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me. I want to be saved. Lord, forgive me of my sins. It's that simple. And then get in church and follow Him and learn and grow and become a disciple and just love God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I love you today and thank you. We thank you for this day that you've given us to come to your house. I thank you today, God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's been in this room today. Thank you, God, that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that's been in this place today. Now, Lord, I pray for that one that may be in this room. You've never given your heart to God, either here or online. Would you just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me, for I have sinned. Forgive me, I have missed the mark. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins and all of my transgressions. Come into my heart, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life today, Jesus. Forgive me of all my wrongs. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me whole. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that he died and rose again. And I want you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and my Savior. So I can have a heavenly Father like Pastor Green has talked about today. And I ask you this in the name of he that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And my friend, you can pray that prayer today and you can do that. And you know what? That mansion that I was talking about earlier, guess what? And this is the only way I know to explain it. There'll be a new nameplate put on the door. And that'll be your house in eternity. You say, well, we're not in eternity yet. Well, we are, but we're not yet there. Like I said earlier, the little bit of anguish, a little bit of pain we're going through right now, it ain't going to hold nothing to the joys and the splendors of all eternity. God bless you today. Shake hands, be friendly, love on somebody before you go. And we plan on seeing you Wednesday night. God bless you.